have your Bibles tonight. By the way, they're not children's stories. They're really things that happen. And God wants us to learn to trust Him. How many of you have ever, now be honest with me tonight. You're here tonight. Be real honest with me tonight. How many of you have ever, Lord, I need you to do something really special to let me know for sure you want me to do X? How many have ever wished the Lord could just do a miracle to give you the peace of God in your heart? Would you raise your hand all over? Raise it up, raise it up. Look at this. All of us are like that. Little Gideons, that's what we are. But we need to learn to trust the Lord because He can do it. Now, if you have your Bibles tonight, Genesis 37. Tonight, the message is a real simple one, but we can apply it in a lot of ways. And I hope tonight that you'll listen very carefully and you'll let God speak to your heart through this principle, really, that's in Scripture. Notice, if you would, Genesis 37 and verse number one. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. So Jacob is back now, but does anybody remember his other name, the new name that God gave him? Anybody remember the new name that God gave him? An adult that doesn't go to TBS. Somebody that knows. Anybody know what the new name that Jacob was given by God? What's that? Israel. You're right. So they begin to use his new name, Israel, in this chapter. From here on, it becomes Israel. But you'll notice, if you would, in verse number two, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. The lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Nobody knows, really, if you do any research, on what the evil report was. But it was probably something like they're not really working hard to keep the sheep fat. They're not really keeping an eye on the sheep like they should, because he just went to check on his brothers. The brothers, Dad, they don't like me. I don't know what it is, but they don't like me. We don't know the evil report, but it brings it back to his father. And notice verse 3, and his name's changed. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children. Now, let me pause for a minute. Does anybody know what Israel meant? What was the meaning of the word Israel? Anybody know? Anybody know? Tommy? Prince with God. It's someone that is a prince with God. Now, Israel is deceitful. He's been deceitful, but he's trying to get his life straightened out. His family is worshiping false gods. He asked them to stop that. They did. And so they're in now the land of Canaan. They're in the land of promise. And he's trying to build his family, but he makes a fatal mistake in many ways for his family unity. Notice what it says in verse 3. Now, Israel loved Joseph. You might want to underline this word. It's underlined in my Bible, more than all of his children. Because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now, let me pause for a minute. You understand what he did here. He didn't mind anybody knowing that he loved Jacob more, that Jacob loved his son Joseph more. Israel didn't mind anybody knowing that. Well, notice, if you were in the outline, Roman number one, Joseph was Israel's favorite son, but his brother's least favorite brother. Whenever you are unfair to someone in any environment, you create jealousy and bitterness. If a boss has five people in his company and he pays them, and all of them are on the same level, and he pays one of them more than the other because he likes him more, the other ones begin to get jealous of that one person. Or if you give one person the easier jobs all the time, they begin to get jealous of that. In school, if a teacher is especially good to one child, gives him breaks and this and that, what do they call that child? Anybody know what the other kids start calling that child? Teacher's pet. That's exactly right. So all of us can have a favorite. It's not good in any environment. Not if you want to reach everybody. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in the outline, A, Jacob wanted everyone to know Joseph was special. So he gave him a coat, a multicolored coat. So it's like he put a target on his back. And he really didn't care. He wanted him to be treated special like he treated him. But he didn't realize that just the opposite would happen. So if you treat one child more special than the others, whether it's by accident or on purpose, you're going to create bitterness and jealousy in your family. I think that's one of the reasons the Lord said, I want you to have one wife. Husband of one wife. Two wives, there's always jealousy. Hannah, spiritual lady, Peninnah. Rachel, Leah. You name the times in Scripture where there were multiple wives, and it's just natural. Our hearts are jealous in the inside and easily embittered if we feel any unfairness in life. And folks, Christians, we have to deal with that. We have to deal in our own life that we can take unfairness and still be sweet and unbittered. We have to be able to take something that's mistreatment and not let it get to our heart. Now notice in the outline, if you would, B, Jacob's love for his son was the source of great envy and hatred within his family. This source was his love. You might say, how can you love somebody too much? You can. You can love anybody too much. Janet and I regularly pray together. And one of our prayers is, Lord, help me to love Janet with all my heart. Janet, help Janet to love me with all her heart. But help us to love you more than either of us. The Lord says the greatest command in Scripture is to love me first. So you can love your wife too much. You can love your husband too much. You can love your children too much if you love them more than the Lord. So we have to be very careful. The Bible says that a husband is love his wife as Christ loved the church. Well, Jesus Christ sacrificed his own life for the church. That's as about as great a love as you can get. I cannot tell you how to love your wife like that. I just know this. We pray about it and ask the Lord to help our love be greater than anything in this life for each other. And Lord, I want you to be above that. Jacob loved Joseph more than anybody in his family because his wife, his favorite wife, was dead. And now there was nobody on the face of the earth he loved more than Jacob, than his son Joseph. And he gives him this coat and says, here's my favorite love in all the world. Well, as he would go out to his brothers, they would see that coat and their spirits would become bitter. The hair on the back of their head just, I just hate that guy. That is a natural reaction to favored love. Anybody, it shouldn't be that way. Now, let me say this to you. I love the people of our church. But I can't love anybody in this church more than somebody else except my wife. That's it. I I love Grace here, but I can't love Grace more than Sarah. And I can't love Carrie more than AK. I can't love Jonathan more than James because that breeds a bitterness. It's human nature. And folks, the only reason I'm telling you this is that you would be aware of the principle in your life. Treat everybody at work fairly. Love them all. Treat your children fairly. Love them all. Treat your wife special. Treat your husband special. That's okay because you're only supposed to have one. So you can love them more than the world. But love them with all of your heart, but say, Lord, help me to love you more. You don't temper your love for your wife or temper your love for your husband. You just say, Lord, give me a greater love for you than anything in this life. That's what we have to do it. Now notice, if you would, he wants everybody to know he loves Joseph more than all. So he gives him this coat. And notice, see in the outline, the brothers' feelings were so hateful toward Joseph that they couldn't even speak peaceably to him. Notice verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And notice verse 4. And when his brethren saw that he wore this coat. No. Saw that he gave him more than lunch money. No. Saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren. They hated him. That is a natural tendency of every one of us. If someone loves someone else or cares for someone else or treats someone else better than they treat us, and we're on the same level. The brothers are on the same level. Church members are on the same level. It should not be that I give one church member more attention than another church member. Oh, it is whenever you're hurting or whenever you've got an issue. But it's not like I would treat every church member the same way if you had an issue. You know, I try to check on Joseph with his knee. I try to check on Richard Dean back here because his mother is very ill. You know, if I know something. Now, COVID has really made it a challenge because I used to visit every hospital. And now some I can, some I can't. I've even went to one hospital and waited for 30 minutes and they said, they don't want to see you. And I left. And they call me and says, well, you can come back now. I'd already way down the road and it's right before their surgery. And I said, I'm so sorry. They told me you didn't want to see me. Oh, what? So I'm trying to get back to the old way of meeting people at the hospital just before surgery, rejoicing with people after they have a new little baby, but I can't get in. And so I want to find a consistent way to be fair to everyone, because I don't want anybody to feel like to have this, well, pastor didn't treat me fair, or my boss didn't treat me fair, or, you know, you picked a venue. You and I have to be careful of our heart, and we have to open our eyes and be aware that bitterness comes from unfairness. Remember that. In a classroom environment, you treat one child more than another, bitterness results. Teacher's pet. And they'll say it with a little bit of venom. And one brother's loved a little bit more than the other because maybe he's a little bit more obedient, or he's a little bit smarter, or he's a little bit more this or that. You cannot let that be a part of your heart. We have to love them all the same. Lord, help me. Notice, if you would, the result. Look in verse 4. They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. They couldn't even talk to him without it being bitterness, just spewing out. So notice what happens. Verse 5, Joseph dreamed a dream. So he shares it with his brother. Well, notice in the outline, one, they mocked Joseph when he told them about his dreams. Look at verse 8. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And so notice what happens. As he began to have these dreams, he would tell his brothers because he's happy about his dreams. And it's almost like there's an innocence about Joseph. He doesn't realize what's going on, how much they hate him. But notice, if you would, verse 20. Come now therefore, verse number 18. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. So they began to mock him for his dreams. So anything he were to do, his brothers would make fun of him, they would mock him, and they would get together and connive about what we can do. Well, notice verse 20. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. So anything you say, truth or not, will be used against you. When somebody gets bitter, when somebody perceives unfairness. Notice, if you would, two in the outline. This is C2. They plotted to kill him. Three, they settled on something a lot less than killing him. And notice what they settled on. They settled on selling him into a lifetime of slavery. Notice verse 27. Verse 26. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Hey, where are we going to benefit financially if we kill our brother and cover it up? Come, let us not put our hand against our brother, for he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content. Verse 27, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let's sell him to a lifetime of slavery. That'll fix him. So I want you to understand, all of this comes from a father's love and from a father's favoritism. So all of us in this room have to be very careful never to treat people unfairly. We have to be so careful of that. If you treat people unfairly, you can't witness to them. If you treat people unfairly and you share it with them and they know it, there's always something in the human heart that flares up when somebody feels like you've treated them unfairly. We have to learn that lesson. Notice, if you would, Roman numeral 2, all this family division could have been averted if Jacob would have simply been fair and loved all of his children equally. Now notice, A, now let me give you the steps to fix the issue of unfairness, to fix the issue of favoritism. I don't think any of us look at favoritism and say, well, that's a terrible sin. But it divides family and destroys people if it's within a family. So notice what happens. A, Jacob should have realized his sin was dividing his sons. He should have noticed. Folks, we've got to be aware if we treat one grandchild more than another grandchild, one son more than another son, a daughter more than a son more than a daughter. Well, she's always been your favorite. Well, he's always been your favorite. You and I have to learn to be very careful, because the fruit of a little bit of favoritism is bitterness and hurt. And the way you have to fix it is, A, you have to realize it. I did that. Jacob never realized it. It never says in Scripture he ever realized what he had done. Notice B, Jacob could have apologized to make it right. Hey, boys, come in here. I want to talk to you. Come here. Where's Benjamin? I'll get Benjamin in here. Where is Judah? I want all of you in here. All of you. I want to sit down right here in front of me. I want to talk to you. Guys, I've realized a sin I've committed, and I want you to know I'm sorry. I've been extra special to Joseph. I was wrong. Guys, will you look at me? Will you forgive me? Judah, will you forgive me? I'll start treating him just like you. I'll start treating you just like him. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And I've gone down the line, because bitterness is in all the kids' hearts, every one of them here. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in the outline, Jacob should have treated them all the same with love. I want to love you guys all the same, and I want Joseph to be loved just like you guys are loved, and I want to love you just like I love Joseph. I don't want to be any difference. And I want you to treat him better, because he didn't deserve this. I did it to him. And I put bitterness in your heart. I'm asking you to get rid of it for my sake. Will you do that? Folks, that's what we have to do when we committed this sin of favoritism. Whether it's a boss at work, what we do is we come and say, I can treat people the way I want to. No, we can't. Not be the kind of boss that God wants you to be. Not to be the kind of father God wants you to be. Not to be the kind of mother God wants you to be. Notice, if you would, in the outline, Roman numeral 3, the brothers could have treated Joseph right no matter what their father's sin was. Now, I want you to understand something tonight. This could have been fixed two ways. Number one, the father that committed the sin could have fixed it. He could have made it right. He could have asked the boys forgiveness. He could have encouraged them to forgive him and to treat Joseph the same, because he's going to treat them fairly from here on out. Joseph didn't deserve this. I'm telling you, it was my fault. I want you to love your brother like you do anybody else. Jacob, Joseph, I want you to forgive your brothers if there's any in your heart, which I don't think there was. Daddy, I don't know what you're talking about, Dad. I love my brothers. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, there's another way to fix it. But it's the hardest way. Now, I want you to listen. If you'll notice, if you would, take Matthew 5. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew 5:44. The principle's in the New Testament, but it's in the Old too. But it's so clear in the New Testament. Notice with me, if you would. I want you to notice in verse number 43, Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, this is Jesus Christ teaching. And he said, you've heard that you love your friends and hate your enemy. I'm going to teach you a new principle. It's not new, but it's the way it ought to be done. I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. So let's take just a minute. If they hated Joseph, Joseph was to love them back. And he did that. But they never truly loved him back. That is one of the reasons Joseph is one of the greatest Christians in history. Notice, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, notice what he says. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. But you'll notice, he says, verse 48, but be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. The word perfect is brought to full growth or maturity. It takes a great Christian to step over mistreatment. It takes a great Christian to forgive favoritism. It takes a great Christian to forgive an enemy. Now, wait a minute. Does anybody remember what else he said? Not just forgive your enemy, but what's the next word he used right at the beginning? Love your enemy. That takes a great Christian. That's why Jonah decided to run away and let Nineveh die and go to hell, because he hated them and he couldn't get over his bitterness. Why? They treated the Israelites unfairly. They came down into their country and raided, and they were terrible to people. They would butcher people. They would chop them up. They were horrible people in character. And so he said, they don't deserve to go to heaven. He made a God decision and doesn't have that right, just like we don't. But it got so deep in his heart, the bitterness and hatred, when God said, I want you to go and preach the gospel to those people. He says, not on your life. And he ran for his life. Now, God put him under so much pressure that he finally caved in and said, okay, Lord, I'll go. You read Jonah. You read Jonah chapter 1 and 2. And the Bible says, because of his affliction, he said, I can't take it anymore. And he said, Lord, I'm sorry. The fish spit him out. He went into Nineveh and he preached for 40 days. But the second God forgave them, read chapter 4. He was angry and bitter with God. And God said, do you do right to be angry? He said, yes, I do. He never got the bitterness out of his heart because of the mistreatment that the Ninevites gave to his church, to his kindred. They would come down and raid, and he hated them for it. But he had the chance to change their hearts and to teach them what was right. But he couldn't do it because his heart was bitter. And so you learn the anger and the bitterness that comes from mistreatment. Now, favoritism is mistreatment. Notice, if you would, in the outline, Roman numeral 3, no matter what their father's sin was, there is no excuse for you and I getting bitter. There's no excuse for you and I being vengeful to pay somebody back. The scripture says in Romans, he says, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You and I don't have to. God wants us to live a life of freedom from guilt and sin. And we can do that if we just say, Lord, you take care of this. Lord, I've been mistreated here. My boss hadn't given me a raise in 5 years. Lord, you take care of this. Lord, you take care of this. Lord, you take care of that. I'll trust you to take care of it. Lord, they tried to ruin my name. Lord, you take care of that. We have to learn to trust the Lord and to do what's right. And in our heart, we always forgive. We never hold it in. It's one of the greatest challenges of every Christian's life. Because we're all mistreated. But you can't hold bitterness in. You have to let it go. Or it will make you like Jonah, and it'll ruin you. Notice, if you would, A in the outline, Reuben the eldest tried to deliver Joseph to his father. Now, Reuben is the oldest, so he's sort of responsible for the family, and he tried to deliver Joseph, but he waited too long. The Bible says that all the brothers wanted to kill him. But I think Reuben sort of got under conviction whenever he began to think about the word choice of killing his brother. He said, well, I can't do that. How would I face my dad? I can't lie to my dad. So he stepped back and tried to deliver him. But he didn't stand up enough and say, nobody's doing that. I'm going to tell dad we're not doing that. It takes courage to get over bitterness and stand up to do what's right, to forgive. Notice, if you would, be Judah wanted to profit and to punish Joseph. We read that in verse 26. What profit if we should slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Can you imagine any more hateful, mean-spirited things to do to someone in your family to say, I'm going to kill him because I don't like the favoritism that goes on. I don't like how he's specially treated. Can you imagine saying, I'm not going to kill him. I'm just going to sell him for the rest of his life to be a slave. Do you understand tonight the human nature is so depraved that if we're mistreated, you and I have to be very careful to turn that nature over to the Lord and say, Lord, you help me not to go there because my flesh wants to. Let me ask you this question. What happens when you're driving your car and somebody goes and cuts in front of you, hits the brakes, goes over the other car, hits the brakes, goes up another kind, it's just back and forth in traffic. What is your thought? Somebody tell me. What is your first thought? Where is a police officer? I want him to pay for what he's doing. Don't get me wrong, he should. It's wrong. But the human heart wants everybody else to get what they deserve if they're not doing the right thing. It's our nature. I mean, they come running in front of us and hit the brakes, and all of a sudden, may God bless his heart. He's just having a bad day. That's not my thought first. But I'm working on that. That's why we all have room to grow. Mistreatment causes all of our hearts to do something that we would regret if we did it. Learn to forgive and not let anybody become your enemy or anybody to get to your heart where you say, that's not fair. Christians should never use that word because it'll ruin your heart. The human nature takes over. You're right. It's not fair. And then it begins to go. Notice, if you would, see, in the end, the brothers sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver and lied to their father. I've often wondered, how did they divide up that 20 pieces with 11 of them? Somebody got mistreated. Wonder who it was. Well, you don't find much about that. I would imagine Judas said, look, it was my idea. We're going to give two to the oldest, and it's going down. Benjamin, you get one. I mean, they're going to work it out. Well, and Benjamin could have been looking at it and said, well, that's not fair. There's no way to divide it up. You and I have to understand life is not fair, because the old devil doesn't want it to be fair. Because one of the number one things happened whenever someone's mistreated in their heart is bitterness begins to rise. Anger begins to rise. I want to pay them back. I want them to feel like I feel. Notice, if you would, in the outline, they even got to the point where they said, we'll just lie to our dad. Now, the brothers, look at D in the outline. The brothers even saw their father's great grief, yet it didn't sway them to do what's right. Read verse 35 with me. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. Now, let me explain to you. This is a fruit of favoritism that's unchecked. He said, I love Joseph more than all, and none of you can comfort me. It's still showing favoritism. And you'll notice, don't you notice, they all tried to comfort him. Now, look if you would, his sons and daughters. Everybody tried to comfort him. He refused. It's not like he couldn't be comforted. He refused to be comforted. You want to know why? He's angry in his heart because his favorite son's gone. Favoritism, mistreatment will ruin your heart. Notice, if you would, I will go down into the grave unto my son's mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Nobody can fix this. I'll die from this. Why didn't that statement cause his brother to say, wait a minute, Dad, we don't want you to die from this. This is our fault. They'd gone too far. They weren't big enough to make it right. Folks, never become big enough in your sin that you can't take a step back and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. It'll ruin you. Notice, if you would, quickly. Bitterness and jealousy will cause anyone to do and think despicable, wicked things. You look at Jonah, he wanted hundreds of thousands of people to die and go to hell because of the mistreatment of his people. You look at Samuel, you look in Proverbs. Proverbs says the heart knoweth its own bitterness. I know when I'm bitter. Whenever some name's mentioned, it rises up in my back of my head. I don't like that guy. We have to be so careful of that, folks. The spiritually mature Christian can step over it, but not without the help of the Lord. That's why we have to grow and keep growing, because sooner or later the old devil will keep up in the ante to the point to where somebody does something that you say, now that's unforgivable. You know, I see in this passage that the brothers never made it right. If you have your Bible, I want you to see this. Turn to Genesis 50, if you would. Now, as we finish this book over the next eight weeks or so, 10 weeks, you're going to notice that Joseph goes through sheer torture, but he keeps a great spirit. He's sold to Potiphar as a slave, and he works so hard and has such a good spirit, Potiphar elevates him and elevates him and elevates him and says, you take care of all my possessions. I trust you. He earned that. And then he gets mistreated again by Potiphar's wife. I've often wondered in Scripture, how many of you realize Potiphar's wife is never mentioned again? I wonder why. I wished the Lord would have let us see what happened when Joseph became prime minister of Egypt and Potiphar's wife had to walk through town. It wouldn't surprise me if Joseph didn't call her in and Potiphar and say, Potiphar, I know you put me in prison for allegedly trying to have your wife. I want you to know something. That didn't happen. I appreciate what you did for me. And look at his wife and say, and I forgive you for lying about me. I often wondered if Joseph did that to clear his name. But I can tell you this, it was not an ounce of bitterness in his heart. He somehow stepped over Potiphar's wife. He somehow stepped over Potiphar's anger, unjustly so. He somehow stepped over the butler forgetting about it for 2 years. I wonder how many of us could have done that. Then he sees his brothers, and notice his father dies, and listen to what his brothers say. Verse 16. The father's not dead yet, but he reminds the brothers, you need to apologize to Joseph for what you did to him. Verse 16, they begin to fear in verse 15, if our dad dies, he's going to pay us back. That's what guilt does when it's not made right. Notice verse 16. Well, let's go back to 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. There is the payday from the human heart that bitterness always brings back. They're going to hate us. They're not going to like us. They're going to pay me back. I deserve it. Well, notice, they sent a messenger to Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so the father couldn't get them to apologize. He couldn't get them to do the right thing. Then when he dies and they realize there's no more protection, Joseph would treat us right as long as dad's alive, but now we're in trouble. We've got no protection. Well, notice what he says. Dad told us to say this. Verse 17. So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did evil to thee, or they did the evil. Now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph said, you mean, dad told you to say that. He gave you the words to say, and you're just now saying it. Look at Joseph's response. It's amazing to me. He wept. You want to know why he wept? Guys, I forgave you a long time ago. Don't you know that? I love you. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies and them that hate you. What an amazing Christian. He weeps over his brothers and they owe him an apology and he doesn't care. Notice in verse number 18, and his brethren also went down and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. They don't believe it. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Joseph was mature enough to know that God makes no mistakes. And that God used his wicked brothers, the wicked Potiphar's wife, the forgetful butler, to put Joseph in the place of prime minister, but to prepare him before he got there. Notice this, verse 20. But as for you, his response is classic. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. God used your evil thoughts. Verse 21, now therefore fear you not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly unto them. They were the people that sold him for 20 pieces of silver. What a Christian that is. Lord, help us all to be like this. Notice in the outline, we must keep our hearts clean and our direction right in God's sight, or we'll do wrong like Joseph's brothers. They never fully apologized to Joseph, yet he did them more than right and forgave them anyway. Folks, if we could learn to forgive people without being asked, it would make our Christianity some of the sweetest on earth. If we want God's richest blessings, we must forgive and love those that mistreat us. Do you want God's richest blessing? Joseph got it because he forgave early. Because you may know what the Bible says in Job 42:10. It says, when Job prayed for his friends, the enemies that mistreated him, God blessed him. God waits for us to forgive people, and then he heaps up blessing upon us. Tonight, Be forgiving even when you're mistreated. That's the lesson of chapter 37, Genesis.